Amen. God is a good God, and he's certainly been good to us, has he not?
Amen.
And we want to come this way tonight and give him praise, and we're so thankful for you being in the house of the Lord this evening. The choir's been here since about 4 o'clock, been working hard. You're going to be excited to hear some new songs for Jubilee, and we are excited. I hope you are. I saw a lot of folks have signed up for the time of prayer. Please try and do that before you leave this afternoon. Something happens that you can't, you still want to pray, God's good with it, okay? So, but if you could go ahead and sign up, if something happens that you would say, you know, I'd rather not come in person to the church, Brother Harold this morning, he's not able to come up here and drive and be here, you know, in the hours. And he said, Brother Allen, he said, if you'll give me 2 hours sometime after midnight on Friday night, I get up anyway, so I'll get up and I'll spend my time in prayer. So he's got 2 hours in the middle of the night. That's dedication. Amen. That's faithfulness to pray. And we're thankful for that. And a lot of folks have signed up, and we're so thankful. If you haven't, go ahead and choose you some times and get them on the list. And we're going to try our best to try and get the word around to everyone. There's some folks that haven't been able to be here. Some folks are out of town today, and they've already said, Brother Allen, you can go and count us in. We'll take a couple of hours. They're going to be out of town, but they're going to make sure that they spend some time in prayer. And again, we're excited about what the Lord's doing, and it's going to be a great time of Jubilee. I know you're going to enjoy the service tonight. I believe we're going to have some testimonies. We're going to sing another song here in a few moments, but let's ask the Lord to be with us tonight in a very special way. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, thank you most of all for salvation that is full and free. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. We're thankful for those that got saved this week. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for what you've done and for what you're going to continue to do. Maybe even in the service tonight. Lord, in the days and the weeks to come. Lord, during our time of Jubilee, we're asking for souls to be saved and for the church to sense a spirit of revival. But Lord, be in the service tonight. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for all that's accomplished, both with those that are sick and unable to be here tonight. We'll praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need it, turn over to page 57. Could we sing a couple of verses of Amazing Grace? Stand with me, church. Standing, we're going to ask God's blessing on the offering as well as the service. Brother Ceylon, would you pray for us tonight? Church, you can be seated.
times I can hardly go, but still I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith and can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory.
Just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight, 'cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Hot, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and I'd give up too, 'cause I do believe you're bound to lose.
I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight, 'cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight, 'cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
You may stare
and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight,
'cause remember, you can't cross the
that going, and what it has done in our lives is remarkable. I'll see how much time we have to see if I can connect your dots to the miracle that's going on at North Cobb Christian School with where that began 19 years ago. But one thing that's true is, if you helped the Christmas tree lot in any way this year, then you funded everything that you're going to get to hear tonight. All of the goodness that God intended to come to our kids came through that, and I am just so very grateful. One of the things that we do, when you hear ski trip, you probably think, you know, snowy mountain, kids just having a blast, and it is that for sure. It is so good. But did you know that we do not allow any electronics for the entire week on the mountain? That we're in hotel rooms, the TVs never come on. The entire 11-hour drive, there are no phones. Can you imagine that? Can you just imagine? When you have no electronics, when you have no TV, I'm not kidding you. One day, an F-22 fighter jet flew about 100 feet over the mountain, and I thought, oh, no, we've gone to war, and we don't even know about it, right? You know, because we have no contact to the outside world. But you know what that does, honestly? Without having those outside influences, influence is it opens the door for lots of memories. It opens the door for lots of friendship. It opens the door for lots of bonds. And it opens the doors to so many experiences that you can share. I could tell stories from ski trips forever, but I'll just tell you one today from my experience up on the mountain. I guess you could say I am a proficient skier. I'm not a pro, but I am very experienced. Does that make sense? And so one day we had our three youngest skiers. I had Brantley, I had Carter, and I had Jalen, and I was teaching them coming down the mountain real nice and easy, and I said, hey, come with me. There's a nice green. The slopes are labeled green for very beginner, blue is intermediate, and black is a little scary, right? Some of the blacks are named the Widowmaker and things like that, right? So I said to them, come with me. This is day two, and Brantley had picked up his lefts and his rights, so he was able, and we came down to a blue hill, and there was nowhere else to go, and I got these three little bitty beginner skiers, and they're like, ah, you have misled us, and we're looking at one called the Gandy Dancer, and it is so steep on the top side, and two of them are going, we're not doing it, Uncle B, we're going back up. But I knew young Brantley, and by the way, I meant to tell this part of the story, these kids had been bragging about me on the lift. They were like, Uncle B's a pro, Uncle Bree's got this, now I've misled them and let them into harm's way. And I knew they were trying to back out, but there was no way to climb back up 100 yards. You can't do that. So I said, Brantley, you are proficient. And picture little bitty Brantley. He's this tall. I said, Brantley, you are proficient at lefts and rights. So you go first and show him how it's done. And he took off like a good soldier, and he skied the top of that thing perfectly. The next thing you know, Carter was like, he's got it, I got it. Jamez jumped in, he's got it, I got it. And so, great, I got him going down the mountain. I stepped onto that slope, and within 4 feet, I hit a patch of ice, and the first thing to touch was my head. I'm not kidding you. I'm upside down, boom, right there on my head, and I'm scrambling like, what in the world has just happened? And I'm looking at my little skiers just disappear into the distance, you know. But it is so crazy steep that my stuff is scattered about, so I'm not kidding you. This guy skis over to me, and he's like, it's okay, buddy. We've all been there. Stick with it. You'll get it, you know. And I'm like, yeah, but do you mind if you get me my ski over there, you know? And so he gathers my skis to me. It is so steep that when you stand in skis, you have to snap them back on. It's like this. The side of the mountain's like this. I can't get my skis back on. And literally, I see these little people just disappearing at the bottom of the mountain. And I'm like, ah! So I have no choice but to humiliate myself. And literally, I sat down on my buttocks and did the Heine shuffle all the way down the mountain to a flat spot. And what I don't know is I'm just losing all of my dignity and self-esteem on the mountain is evidently my ski pants have come down some, and it's 8 degrees, and ice is getting in places it does not need to get. You know what I mean? But a lady comes skiing down to me, and she goes, hey, sir, is this your phone? Because while I was going, my backpack was open, and I've littered all my snacks and all my stuff all up on the mountain. I'm like, ah, this is terrible. I ski down to the bottom of the mountain, finally find the guys. I get in the line by myself, and I'm like, when will this be over? And they have up there what's called a ski school. It is for like the preschool skiers that they're teaching. And I'm so flustered by now that I skied into the line. And the guy on the lift goes, sir, I'm going to let this slide one time, but you're in the ski school line. I'm in the line for the preschoolers, you know. I'm like, ah. And I want you to look at me. Do you see my size? Well, those lifts are tight. And there's, you know, you can get 4 people on a lift. In all my years, no one has ever invited me to join their 3, right? I mean, they look at a big guy, they're like, no, you ain't getting on here. I honestly think they thought I was special. They were like, do you want to come with us? I get on the lift and they're like, and where are you from? I'm like, I am from a land of humiliation. That's where I'm from. But at any rate, you know, those are those crazy adventures, and they're so much fun. And we shared with them, so many of the kids are going to speak about what we share, but every night we preach to them and we share them one of the great stories of the Bible. And the theme this week was take the land. There's something that God has for you. He's planned for you to get into your life, and you cannot perform the will of God in your life if you don't get a hold of that land. And that land for them is the life God dreamed for them. It's the life God has created them for. It's the life God wants to equip them for. And it's the life that God is planning for their life. And if they will walk with God, they can walk into that and take the land. And if they choose not to, they'll miss out. Brother Justin, can you imagine that you had never gotten saved? Would you have ever preached? Would you ever been a pastor? What you would have missed out on? Same thing for me. Each time God has called my heart to obey. And at any rate, when you try to honor God And when you limit the outside world, you're going to see some good things happen. And on night number one, we had three little hearts cry out to Jesus Christ for salvation. Isn't that precious? And two of them are here tonight. And they're going to speak to you. Come on down. We'll let Carter go first. You should have heard the noise he just made. Go ahead. Just tell him what happened. He got saved. Amen. Go have a seat.
Oh, I'm a little bit nervous. So, yeah. my name is Jabez, and before the trip, I really wanted to get saved. And I knew God wanted me to get saved too. Then Uncle B started preaching about how we needed to take the land, how the Israelites had a chance, and they didn't take it. The spies came back with negative comments and it scared the people, and I kind of connected that to Adam and Eve because I knew God, they had all the land, but they ate from where God told them not to, and it was the land they were not supposed to have, and the devil came, tempted them, and said, you surely won't die. You'll become gods. And they ate from it. And, they weren't clean anymore. And that's how I, connected everything. And on Monday night, I got saved. So,
Amen. Dylan, come on up.
I walk kind of longer than them, but that's all right. So the ski trip was very fun. There was a lot of snow, but I learned about Moses sending 12 spies into the promised land. 10 of them, who forgot what God has already done for them, came back saying it was too hard. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back talking good about the land, saying it was wonderful. The people who look in the eyes of flesh see the land as too strong to take over. But people who look in the eyes of God, they see the land as amazing. Sometimes when I'm tired, I see the negative side. But when I think that nobody said it was going to be easy, then I see the positive side. Think about God's promise before your weaknesses. Yeah.
We had a great time on the ski trip. It was, there's a lot of, the most important thing, those three souls, those three precious souls, nothing could ever top that. We had great snow. I believe they said Wednesday possibly was the best snow conditions they've had in over 10 years at that place. Lots and lots of snow. We had safety on the roads, praise the Lord. We had, God took care of things. I know that before we left, just being totally transparent, I was really concerned about that long drive, because it is a long drive. And the last part of that drive, as you get up in those mountains, up and down and around those curves, and I'll just be honest with you, there was nothing on the road, but I just don't even feel comfortable driving the speed limit on those roads when there's nothing on them. And so it's just not what you would consider a pleasant drive. And I, just being honest, I had some, I just wasn't looking forward to the drive and the way it was just working out with who was going and who was not going, that I knew I'm going to be driving the van all the way up and I'm going to be driving the van all the way back. And I just wasn't looking forward to it. And even that itself, some things just worked out and to where my ride got better. The ride just, it got better. I still had to drive it, but the ride got better. We saw God take care of things. When you get up there, the roads were in, there was snow everywhere, but they knew how to keep those roads clean. They want people at Snowshoe going up and down that mountain, getting there and spending their money, so they kept those roads clean. There was not a time when I really felt oh, I'm going to slide, this is not good. They kept the roads clean. God just took care of everything. But one of the 2 points from the lessons that really stuck with me, and Brian did an awesome job Monday night. Monday night, I was sitting there listening to him, and I thought, I don't know why Brian's not teaching every single lesson. He taught 3 out of the 5. And I've told him many times that is his element. I don't understand why he has not been placed where he's speaking to hundreds of young people, because he was so good. But one of the points that he made on the, I think the last time, he said there's a section in the book of Judges, chapter 1, after Joshua died. We were talking about take the land, and Joshua was a man of action, and Joshua took off, and for 7 years he took it, whooped up on, I think, 31 kings, and he took that land. But there's a section in Judges chapter 1 where after Joshua dies, Judah takes over. And it talks about Samaria where Judah, and it says God was with Judah, and they drove out the inhabitants of the mountains. That sounds good, right? God's with you. You're going to do what you're supposed to do. But the very next phrase says, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. Now, it said God was with Judah. And Brian brought up a very good point. They didn't take the land they were supposed to take till 40 years later. They were supposed to take that land 40 years ago. And now it's much more than 40 because Joshua's dead now. But he's made a point. He said, when you don't take the land you're supposed to take, your enemies are going to get stronger. And that just really hit home with me, that even as adults, as parents or grandparents or great-grandparents, when you don't take the land that you're supposed to take, you're making it harder for your kids, your grandkids. Take the land. Follow the plan that God has for you. That stuck with me so much. And the other thing that really, really stuck with me this week when I was studying for my part of the lesson is I thought about those 2.5 tribes when they went to go over the Jordan River. There was 2.5 tribes that had a lot of cattle, and they were like, just give me this, give us this land. We'll go over and help you fight, but let us have this land. And I thought about the God that gave them all that cattle, the God that wanted them to take the promised land 40 years ago, was he not capable of giving them fertile land across the river? And I thought about taking the promised land, are we okay with the land of almost? Are we okay with the land of close enough? Are we okay with the land of that's good enough, that's good enough? And do we settle? And trying to talk to the young people about, you know, at your place where you're at in your life, don't settle, don't get stuck, don't settle for almost. Walk and take what God has for you. Don't make it harder for the people that come behind you, your kids, your grandkids. It was truly a remarkable week. I had the pleasure of leading Jamez and Carter to the Lord. And Jamez, when I asked him, I said, okay, I understand from what the way Brian prayed, there were some people that raised their hands, and you raised your hands, and they both nodded their head yes. And I said, so why are you in here? Do you want to, you need help? You need to talk about something? And Jamez just flat out said, I need to get saved. He said, my mama told me I'm saved, but I don't think I am. And when I talk to kids, I always say something along the lines of, did you feel God talking to your heart? And both those boys shook their head yes. And I said, Jamez, what do you think the Lord was saying to you? And he looked at me again. I need to get saved. The Lord is telling me I need to get saved. And when I looked at Carter, he goes, I want to get saved. And the Lord gave me the privilege that night of leading those 2 boys to the Lord. And there could not be. It doesn't matter how long the drive is. It doesn't matter how long the walk and the freezing cold to the bathroom was. It doesn't matter shuttling up and down that mountain. None of that matters, because those boys got saved. And God gets all the credit and all the glory.
I just wanted to say about how the theme was take the land, and how I was going to take the land is become a better leader and to show others like what it looks like to know Christ. And by doing that, I want to go out and help others. And so I invited my friend JD over so, you know, he could come over and just see, like, everything, like, good and, like, all the fellowship and how everyone there, like, loves Christ. So I think by taking the land that I could become a servant for the Lord and lead people to Christ.
Good evening. this year's ski trip was probably my favorite because I've got to experience skiing with new beginners and helping them with some of their like techniques on like skiing down the mountains or whatever. And I was skiing with Carter one day and I had a little fall off the side of the mountain, and that whole situation just showed me how the Lord watches over us in every moment, in every way. And in Psalms 23, it talks about how the Lord is our shepherd, and it really shows me how he's always with us, and he's always protecting us in every single second of our lives. And in Psalms 121, it states how God is our keeper, and how he holds our life safe in his hands, and
while CJ comes, I just got to say, she said she had a little accident. She came off the mountain. She actually went into a pretty good-sized ravine, and we said, take the land, and she took the ditch, you know.
you know, they say save the best for last, so you'll be happy to know Max is coming up right after me. Uncle Brian introduced us, and they may have been doing the youth group for a while, but it's a new concept to me. That is to raise the glass this week, you know, and to hear for somebody. I'd like to do that here and say, I want to say, raise the glass for Christian Busby. And that's important because it's part of my fun story for tonight. I grabbed two teenage boys because Mama didn't raise no fool. If she did, it's my brother. And so I taught those two teenage boys to school to ski. It took all of 11 minutes, and they kind of had it, you know. So I was off skiing by myself when Shiloh comes up to me and says, hey, Christian needs you. He's teaching three little girls how to ski by himself. And I was like, who are you? Who is this Christian you speak of? And I said, no, of course, I'll be happy to go help him. Where is he? She said, go to where we started. They haven't even made it 50 yards. Just you will find them. And sure enough, I got off the lift at the top of the mountain where we all started, and I could see them. I mean, and I was like, oh, but I'm here to ski. So anyway, I say here to Christian because he took, I mean, I'm not proud of this, but it had been a couple hours that I had been off skiing, you know, with my teenage boys. And so anyway, Uncle Brian also showed up 2 hours late. That's, you know, neither here nor there. But anyway, we show up and we split those girls up, and I get a young lady named Cadence, and he had pretty much done the work. She just needed someone to pick her up every now and again. And so as we're skiing, a big part of skiing is keeping your skis off of each other. And her skis touched in front of her, and I said, Cadence, you have to get those skis off of each other or you're going to fall. And she goes, Uncle CJ, I can't. I'm just going so fast. And I promise you, I have had toots that got across the room faster than this young lady was going down the mountain. If she was doing 5 miles an hour, I'll cut your grass for free tomorrow. I mean, she was going so slow. But anyway, it was absolutely hilarious. But it was a great honor to be part of this. And I'm thankful that it's not just a fun adventure ski trip. I'm thankful that it is a fun adventure ski trip. But if that's all it was, we wouldn't do it. We really wouldn't do it. We wouldn't waste your time. We wouldn't waste your resources, our youth group's money, to go and do something if it was just an entertainment trip. The idea is to change kids' lives forever. And I'm so thankful that I've been able to be a small part of that. In November, that's hilarious. In Numbers 13, is the story that we've all been talking about, how the spies go in and they say, we can't do it, it's just too much. And in Numbers chapter 14 is when they receive the consequences for that. And at the very end of November, I've got all the wrong words in my mind. At the very end of Numbers 14, is when the Israelites have been given their consequences. They're told go to the wilderness. You're going to be there for 40 years, and they decide that they're going to obey God now. They missed the first opportunity, and they said, "Oh, but we messed up. Now we're going to do it God's way. Now we're going to do it God's way." And they got their tails whooped. Right, they got absolutely mollywhopped, and they began their 40 years alone out in the wilderness. Not alone, God was with them still, but they started that 40-year process with defeat. They could have started with humility and going, "God, we missed the boat, but we're going to chase you moving forward." Instead, they started that, and the consequences for that decision were so dire. They were so incredible, and so I hope and pray that we will be a youth group, we'll be individuals who chase God the first time. Let's not wait and wreck our lives before we chase God. Let's go ahead and serve Him today. And I'm thankful for this youth group. Thank you for letting me be a small part of this trip.
All right. So I have my notes on my phone. So I'll just, over our trip, I had lots of fun skiing with my friends. I've been skiing before, so like to think I'm pretty decent at it, and I enjoy just going down whatever slope it is, just have lots of fun with my friends. And all week it was great. Like they said, Wednesday was amazing, best weather by far. And at the end of each day we'd have our devotion, and our topic was take the land, as everyone said. And for me, the land it's a gift from God in the plans for your future. God is going to give you what you need to have the land, to take the land. He's going to give you what you need, but you have to have faith and trust in Him, and you have to actually act upon it, actually take the land. Like you can't ignore what God is telling you, because if you do, you'll end up like the Israelites did, and it's going to hurt for generations on. And like I said, God's going to give you the tools to make you strong and courageous, like Joshua was, and he literally took the land, and you can too. So don't wait. Do it when God tells you to, because it's always better that way. Thank you.
If you give me just like 10 minutes, I'll just give you the highlights of the message so that you can get it, because I think it's very good for us as we go into revival. The Bible says God wanted Israel to have something. He dreamed up something for their lives. So do you remember how it started? God said to Abraham, "Come with me. I will show you. I will make you. I will bless you." That's literally what happened. And Abraham did what so few do. Did. What did I say it right? Pastor Justin says, "Bawooga." So, I mean, Abraham did what so few do. He actually went with God. And when you go with God, you get to have experiences that you will never have if you don't obey God. One of the things God did in my life early on with the Cree Lot is it opened the door to fund the conference that we went to. And every single year that I went to that conference, God gave me something new to work on, some new assignment. With one exception, God gave comfort to Melita over the death of so much of her family. But every single year, God gave me something new. And when I would do it, it would open doors that I see coming to life today. And I hope I have some time. But Abraham did exactly what God said. Did God show him? The Bible says he got to see the north, the east, the south, and the west of Israel. Did God make him? He had a child when he was 100 years old. I mean, what does Buzz Lightyear say? To infinity and beyond, right? And did God bless him? His life was so remarkable. And the Bible says he had a child. Guess where Isaac was born? Isaac was born in the promised land. That's where he was born. Do you know where Jacob was born? Jacob was born in the promised land. And Jacob was like CJ. He was a very fertile fella, kept having kids. And Jacob had 12 sons. Remember that? And guess where they were born? In the promised land. But as Abraham walked with God prior generations, when you walk with God, things happen that would never, ever happen. By chapter number 13, God actually said to Abraham, "I'm going to give you this land." Not only are you going to get to see it, but your descendants are going to get to have it. Do you know the only country in the world today that is owned by a family is Israel? Israel is a Jewish state. There's not another country in the world. God gave it to the descendants of Abraham. He kept his word. I'm going to give you this land. And by the time Jacob's sons are born, doesn't it look like they're well on their way to getting the land? I mean, there's 12 of them and all of their little ones, the Bible says, and they're growing up, but they did something evil that took them out of the land. Do you remember what happened when they did something, what it was that was evil they did? Anybody? No kids saying it. Like Jalen's in the back. Do you remember what they did? Okay, Jalen, tell them. They sold Joseph out of the land. And now one of them is not in the land that God said that you got to have. By the way, you got to hear this. There is no Bethlehem in Egypt. There's no hill called Mount Calvary in Egypt. There's no city called Jerusalem in Egypt. They need this land. But now one of them is out of the land. And there's a famine that takes place. And they leave the land to go where Joseph is. And God used that on behalf of Joseph. God used the evil to do good for Joseph. But it was that evil that took them away from the land. But that family so knew we were supposed to have the land. Do you remember what Jacob said? Jacob told his sons, "Don't you bury me here. Whatever you do, when I die, you make sure you take my bones back to the land God said he was going to give us." And one generation lower, Joseph died when he was 110 years old, which is much younger than his ancestors. But he said to them, "Do not bury me in Egypt. Make sure you take me back to the land that God promised us to have." But they didn't make any efforts to go back home. The Bible lists no efforts for them to go back home. And so they grew and they prospered in the land of Egypt when suddenly the ruler of Egypt said they're getting big, and he enslaved that family. He enslaved the Jewish people, and not till they cried out to God, "We want to go home, we're tired of this slavery," did they get to get back to the land that God intended for them to have. And God came to Moses, and he said to Moses at the burning bush, "I want to give them a land that is flowing with milk and honey. If you come with me, you will come to a good land." Let me just tell you this story, because it's so good for me to look back over 20 years. God intended for the children of Calvary Children's Home to attend private Christian school in the year 2023. The problem is private Christian school costs $19,000. And 19 years ago, God said to me, "Come with me. Come with me and build a tree lot. Come with me," even though so many places said, "Hey, they're selling Christmas trees and they're selling Christmas trees." And this church came to me and said, "We will let you do it, but I'm telling you, we've tried to sell things that we already spent money on before and it didn't work out. So if we do this, you have to promise that you will give the money." And God is my witness, I wagered every dollar I had. And I said, "We will start this thing, and we're going to go with God." And the first year after we got that money, literally we were able to attend a conference where God began to speak to my heart. And one year at that conference, God told me to put my child at Christian school. And I remember saying to God, "God, I make 30-something thousand dollars a year. The lowest tuition at a Christian school is $8,000. That's a fourth of my income. I can't do it. Are you going to obey God or are you not going to obey God?" And I remember walking into Grace Christian Academy and knocking on that door and meeting Chuck Bannister. I don't have time to tell you what a connection that was. And he taught me something called the SSO. If you have grandkids or you have children that you want to get out of these crazy public schools where they teach homosexuality and they teach multiple genders can be the same gender, you need to learn. You need to come to I'll do a class in this class on the SSO where you can take your Georgia State tax dollars and divert them. And I learned a little bit about that. All the while, the Christmas tree lot was growing. The first year the tree lot made $6,000. The second year it made $7,000. The third year it made $8,000. Then it jumped to $15,000. Then to $25,000. Then to $35,000. Then to $45,000. Then to $55,000. And when it finally got to $100,000, I began to notice that literally the community thinks all this money is going to Calvary Children's Home. So I just said, "You know what? We're going to give this money to Calvary Children's Home and we will keep $150,000 in our youth account." And every year at the end of the tree lot, they give us the balance and we make it $150,000. That's what our youth account has. And so you see what God is doing. But in the middle of that experience, right, When the schools were changing their minds, right after the pandemic, especially when they began to, you know, promote homosexuality and promote transgender things and like that, they'd have posters in the counseling offices at our public high schools. I just became convinced that God wanted our kids to go to Christian school. I just was sure of it. And so through prayer, "God, how are we going to do this?" And one day, I'm at the tree lot. Some of you guys know this story. And we're closing down the tree lot, and there was a mentor there who had brought another kid to do a project. And she said to me, she caught me at a weak moment, honest to God, "You talk about divine. I mean, you talk about the winds of God, something happening only when you obey God." She said, "Hey, Brian, what you going to do with this money?" And I looked over at somebody, I didn't even know who she was. And I said, "You know what? I don't know how I'm going to do it. I got 10,000 obstacles. But I believe God has told me that we can get these kids in private Christian school. And I would love to go to North Gibe Christian School. We had another child at that school where a family had done this crazy thing and taken him up there. It was William, who you met just a minute ago. And I said, I don't know how we're going to do it, but maybe somehow we could take this money and we could take that SSO program that I learned about already, and we could perform some kind of a bridge, and we could get our kids to this great Christian school. And you know what she said to me? Brian, do you know who I am? I said, no, ma'am, I'm sorry, I don't. Maybe I'm sharing too much. She said, I'm the principal of North Cobb Christian School, and I'm going to help you. God is my witness. 6 months later, she called and she said to me, Brian, I need you to bring your director and I need you to bring one of your board members. And I want you to come to a meeting and we want to talk to you about how we can make this happen. And I said to her, ma'am, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's so much resistance. I'm going to have a number. You're going to have to give me a number or I'm not even going to be able to get that meeting to happen. You're going to give me a number and I'll never forget you. I know where I was standing when she said, Brian, we're prepared to do it for free. God was dreaming a dream. Somebody had to say, yes, I'll walk with you. Somebody had to say, yes, we'll try it God's way. Yes, I'll obey you. At Jubilee this week, would you be willing to watch no TV for the week of Jubilee? Would you be willing to say no electronics for the week of Jubilee? Would you still the outside voices so you don't have all that clutter? And would you say, God Almighty, speak to me. Give me something. Give me some direction. Amen. And if you will walk in the direction he gives, it can open up so many beautiful things in your life. I implored those kids from a heart that's seen 20 years of it unfolding. The crazy thing about these kids is they're the second generation for the tree lot. They didn't see the struggle at the beginning, but they get to experience so much. We're probably like the seventh generation for the children's home. Can you believe what that children's home has become? Unbelievable. Ben Turner blind stepped out in faith and seen it. But I can say it from experience, take the land, kids. Take the land. The land God wants you to have is a marriage full of forgiveness, a marriage full of love for each other, a family that forgives, a family that builds together, a family that thrives and moves forward, right? The land that God wants you to have is a business that's honest and decent. The land that God wants you to have is a life that's a blessing to others. If you're a child, I'll be honest with you, Max has already taken some of the land. He's already a blessing, right? He's already walking with God and he's a blessing and a help, right? Take that land, take that land. And if you are lost and you don't know Jesus Christ, you have to take that land. Because if you do not, you will enter into an eternity without God. And that was the message that we taught those kids. And three of the kids said, I want in. And I'm going to take the land and I'm going to trust Jesus as our Savior. And I would just encourage you to do the very same thing. And if you got special people in your life tonight that have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, keep praying for them in God's time. In God's time, you know, you loan yourself to the Lord and he will hear you. I promise you that. So let's pray together. And then, Brother Justin, you want me to dismiss? You want to say something? Okay. Our great God, we love you tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name that that story that you unfolded in my life, I never deserved any of that. I never walked worthy of any of that. But you were so kind. And you know my love for those kids, God. You know how they just like my heartbeat, oh God. And you have poured kindness upon them through that. So God, I thank you and I praise you. And I say you're the star of the show. I know, like Joshua, I did not get myself here. You helped me, oh God. And I pray for all the land that you still have for me to take, God. I pray that I would not lose courage, that I would be able to move forward, God. And for our church, that we would step into that land and we would follow you heartily. And God, I pray for maybe some comfort you want to bring through Jubilee, God, like you did from leading in that conference. I pray that our ears would be open. But I pray if there's a next step, if there's something we need to work on, God, that we'd be all ears for you coming into Jubilee. And we'd grow and it'd be so good for our families. And I ask you to help us with these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for supporting our youth group.
What a blessing. Thank you, Brother Brian. And man, we heard many, many sermons tonight. And thank you for each and every one of those. I tell you what, let's do. I'd like for us to just conclude the service tonight in the altar. Maybe a silent time of prayer together for Jubilee, since it is next Sunday. And again, there's a sign-up sheet there if you'd like to sign up for prayer. But let's do that tonight. Let's all conclude the service just by coming down front, if you would, if you could. If you're more comfortable where you're sitting, you can do that. But let's just all join around down here in the altar, have just a silent time of prayer. And whenever you're done praying, just feel free to go ahead and leave. And everybody just have a blessed week. But let's do that tonight. So enjoyed the service. Thank you so very much.